Well, good morning, church. Oh, how I wish that we could see each other face to face and we could spend some time together, but that is not our reality right now, and so we're thankful that we can connect on some level, and it has been enjoyable to have conversations with some of you, and we would love for that to continue as the weeks continue on with this new way of doing life. As we begin Passion Week, I would like us to think about Jesus all week long. That's my challenge to you today. Now you say, well, we should be thinking about Jesus every week, all week long, and that is true. The reality is, though, that many times that's not what happens in our lives. It's really just when we're reminded of him, whether it be through the Spirit just giving us a verse to remember, or a conversation where he comes up in the conversation, or something like that. But this week, I would love for Jesus to capture our attention. Providentially, because it is Passion Week and we're going to be reminded about Easter Sunday all week long, I think it'll be helpful for us to let Jesus capture our attention. But I think that'll be a great encouragement for us, at least I know it will be for my life. This last week, I would just tell you that I personally really struggled. It was just not an enjoyable week for me. It seems like kind of got past the newness of what life was looking like, and then kind of just a little bit in the valley of realizing that, man, this is not going to end anytime soon, and I really don't enjoy it. So I would try to count my blessings, right? That's one way to kind of help your perspective, and I would think through what God has done and what he is doing in my life, and the many blessings that I have, because I'm in a situation currently where I don't have anyone close to me who is experiencing the virus and the effects of all that. And so I'm thankful for the good health that we have as a family and our extended family. I know that some of our folks in our church actually have family members who have been affected by this and in significant ways. And so I would try to think of my blessings. I know that people have experienced hardship in their work, and so financially they're concerned, and so there are a number of things that it could get worse and it could be worse, but for me personally, I really am just continuing on doing what I'm supposed to do, but just really struggling. I think my reactions this week to my family many times were not spirit-filled, just in my own heart, just a lack of contentment, and so counting my blessings helped. But I think the thing that actually will solve my problem and maybe help you as you navigate the waters of life this week is to let Jesus capture your mind, to let him be the focus. And so hopefully, because it is Passion Week and there's a lot of circumstantial things that will help us do that, it will be a great encouragement to us. So I would like to look at the passage in Isaiah 53 this morning. Isaiah 53, as we look at the kind of the big picture of what Jesus accomplished this week in his life. And Isaiah 53 is a poem, and it kind of concludes the last few chapters here in Isaiah, kind of bringing the completion of the work that God had promised to the children of Israel, and so it's a great big picture description as our reading plan allows for you to kind of zero in each day on the life of Christ and what he experienced in this week before he went to the cross. This passage kind of gives us a big picture perspective. Verse 11 in 53 talks about Jesus being a servant. So I'm going to kind of refer to him, as the scripture does in this passage, as the servant. Maybe your Bible says that the title there, the suffering servant. Some translations have that. But Jesus, our Messiah, accomplished on the cross what we could never accomplish for ourselves. And so if we think about life from a big picture perspective all week long, what Jesus did for us, he took care of the problem that we could never take care of in and of ourselves. From the beginning, as we looked at the beginning of January, just the story of Adam and Eve and how they went against the will of God. And when God was communicating the consequences of that choice, he made a promise to them. And we've looked at many passages in the Old Testament this year so far where people were looking forward to the fulfillment of this promise, to the Messiah that God promised to Adam and Eve. And so we have here a picture of our Messiah. And I reworked the outline this morning because I wanted it to be so simple that these four points would come back to our minds and they would really help us be captivated with Jesus all week long. And so four things that I want us to consider about the Messiah this morning, our servant, God's servant. Number one, I would suggest that the Messiah seemed insignificant. The Messiah seemed insignificant. And to some today, he still seems insignificant. I read a survey that said that 45% of Americans are thinking somewhere along the line, and I don't know if that's actual, you know, a real accurate number, but where they are considering the fact that this is God trying to kind of wake people up or some form of God just reminding people that there is an end to life and that what we see is not all that there is. And so hopefully there are people who are considering in the midst of this crisis their own spiritual life and their own destiny. But we have here in Isaiah 53 a picture of someone who most people would not think was significant. If you would look in Isaiah 53 and verse 1, it says, "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of parched ground. He had no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him." Just kind of in a simple summary statement, our Messiah, the Messiah, he seemed very insignificant. He came to this earth, this little baby born in Bethlehem, where most people were focused on the rulers of the day and even considered them somewhat of a god. But our Messiah came in a very insignificant way. And he lived his life in a very insignificant way. It says in verse 2, he grew up and he was like a tender shoot, like a root out of parched ground. And so his seeming insignificance did not put him in a category that most people would look to as a hero, as someone who was significant, as someone who was going to take care of a crisis. But yet that's exactly who our Messiah is. He seemed insignificant, but he is the Redeemer. Most people would think of a deliverer as someone who was strong and mighty and attractive. And you think of the superhero movies of today and how they picture folks and their skills and their amazing abilities. And then you compare that kind of modern day idea and picture to what is described here as the one true Redeemer, the one who actually solved all of the world's problems. And it's a very different picture. Our Redeemer, our Messiah, came in a very insignificant way, and most people did not even know who he was. It says, "Who has believed our message?" Not very many people did in the day in which he came. when Jesus started to preach repentance and faith, and he would communicate to those who he is with that he was the Messiah, people laughed, they mocked him. Who believed the message? Only a few. He seemed insignificant, but he was the arm of the Lord, as it says in verse 1. He was the promised one. He was the one that God had said would come to redeem the world. This man did not fit the picture of an amazing person. Instead of a strong, healthy tree, he was kind of like a struggling little sprout in dry ground. And it says that we would not have been drawn to him. People were not drawn to him. He had no stately form. There was nothing about him that was majestic that we should look upon him. And his appearance did not have anything that would attract a person to him. Ultimately, his appearance was shocking in the end of his days. Isaiah 52 and verse 14 describes, "Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man." At the very end of his life, as he went to the cross, his appearance was anything but an amazing, strong leader. It was actually very insignificant. But it did not take away the fact of who he actually is. Verse 3 says, "He was despised and forsaken of man, a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men would hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him." That's the reality of the life of Jesus, that he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He was despised. He was not an amazing person from the general public's perspective. How could one who seemed like a loser actually take care of the problem of other losers? It says we would hide our face from him. He was not someone who we would esteem. And I want to take that idea there in verse 3, that we did not esteem him. If you're a follower of Christ today, if you have repented of your sins and trusted Jesus Christ, you esteem him. And that's what I want you to kind of carry through this week, that idea. Let's esteem Jesus. What does it mean to esteem? It means to admire, to really respect. And let's let the error that most people will have even this week, where they do not esteem the Messiah because there is nothing about him that was attractive from a human perspective. But when we understand who he is as the Messiah and what he accomplished, and when we accept his gift of salvation, we esteem him. So let's let our perspective of Jesus and our thoughts about Jesus really capture our mind this week. Day in, day out, when we start to worry or get anxious, or whether we're bored or whatever we're experiencing in the moment, and we want things to go back to what we understood as normal, let Jesus capture your mind. Let's esteem him. Number one, the Messiah seemed insignificant. Number two, simply put, the Messiah, he was punished for us. He was punished for me. He was punished for you. Think about that concept. We know that Jesus came and he paid the penalty for our sins, but make it personal once again to you today, just as the day when you experienced salvation from him, that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. He paid the penalty for my sin, which is a lot and grievous to a holy God. Look in the text in verse 4. "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed." our Messiah, though insignificant, he was punished for us. This stanza of the poem, it reports that we did not at first recognize what he was doing and what his sufferings were going to accomplish. But now, after the fact, after we have the whole story and God has revealed the gospel to us, and we today understand the whole picture of what God was accomplishing through our Messiah, we should be grateful. This man, this Messiah, he was punished for us. He bore our griefs. He bore our sorrows. He was smitten. He was afflicted. That's why John said in John 1:29, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." There was an atonement that was necessary. Someone had to pay for the sins that we commit against the Holy God. And our Messiah did that. He took the punishment. Verse 5 talks about the punishment that he experienced. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. This week, as you experience life and you're tempted to think how bad your life is or what we're experiencing, let Jesus capture your mind and what he did for you. Think about the idea of him being pierced through for you and him being crushed for you. And let that thought bring the rest of the world into perspective. That our Messiah, he was punished for us. He compares in verse 6, it says, "All of us are like sheep." He compares with an illustration, that of a sheep. We've all gone astray. Each of us have turned his own way. But the Lord has caused all the iniquity to fall upon him. There's not one person who is righteous from birth. We all have gone astray, like those wandering sheep who need a shepherd to bring them back. This tells us we're all in such a mess. That Jesus, our Messiah, what he did when we went away, we turned our backs, we rebelled against God. He took his son Jesus, the Messiah, and he placed all of our iniquity upon him. Our Messiah took the punishment for us. That's a very big deal in 2020. When we think the big deal is everything in our circumstances that are happening and many things that are difficult, I don't want to minimize that. But ultimately, if you know Jesus, everything is okay because he took the punishment for you and he took the punishment for me. The third idea I want you to think about is the Messiah was completely innocent. Jesus did not deserve the punishment. He was completely innocent, but he was totally submissive. He was innocent, but totally submissive. Look in verse 7. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth." Boy, I tell you, in my own life, the moment I feel like I've been done wrong or I've been misunderstood or things aren't going the way that I think they should, boy, what I'm tempted to do and many times what I do is just open my mouth. Here is the example of our Messiah who was innocent. I'm most of the time guilty. And we have one who was innocent and he did not open his mouth. The illustration of the sheep goes in comparison to Jesus now, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before his shearers. The people who are going to execute him, he did not rebel against them. He actually maintained perfect control, and he did not open his mouth. It says there at the end of verse 7, "So he did not open his mouth." Verse 8, "By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation who considered him, that he was cut off of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due. His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. The description of what would happen to him, where he would eventually die and he would be buried, a perfectly innocent man who was wrongfully accused, but submissively wanted to obey the will of his father and went to the cross, went to that punishment, never opening his mouth, never resisting, completely submissive. There was no deceit found in him at all. There was no violence in him. He was the perfect sacrifice. He was completely innocent, but he was totally submissive. Like a sheep that just sits there and takes it and is sheared and then eventually executed. The servant did not fight against what was happening, but he himself was willing to give his life. Luke 9:51 says, when the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. Can you imagine knowing what was ahead, knowing his innocence, knowing the punishment that he would incur, that he would experience all the physical suffering, and then what would be worse would to take upon him the sins of the world. Knowing what was going to happen, it says that he was determined to go through it. He willingly gave himself to bear the sins of the world. The last thing I want you to think about in regards to our Messiah is that our Messiah did accomplish redemption. This whole experience of his life, coming to earth, taking the form of man, becoming like a baby, and then growing as if he was ordinary, like everyone else, a life of grief and hardship, one that would eventually experience people despising him and mocking him, and then going all the way to the cross to experience the punishment for sins as his body was broken and his blood was shed, and then to take upon him the sins of the world. All of this was done to accomplish what God had promised way back to Adam and Eve: salvation, redemption. And so what Jesus went through, because of who he is, the perfect Lamb of God, he accomplished redemption. Look at verse 12. It says, but the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the reward with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sins of many and interceded for the transgressors. This is the final description of redemption. That Jesus, going through all of this, because there had to be an atonement, there had to be a substitution, there had to be one that would come to satisfy the wrath of God, and Jesus was that one. And because his redemption has been made for us, he will experience the reward forever and ever. He poured himself out. He identified himself as a sinner, it says in verse 12. He accomplished what God had promised. He is the fulfillment of Genesis chapter 3. And yet, still people today do not esteem him. Just like in the day that Jesus lived and experienced and went through all these things, they did not esteem him. Isaiah here is prophesying of all of these things that will still happen. He knew that people would not esteem him. They would not think that he was significant, yet he still came. And he lived a life of perfect obedience, and he obeyed his Father and went to the cross, and he experienced all of those things for us. And when he did, he accomplished redemption. Salvation is ours. What a glorious thing. It says in verse 12, "Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and this great reward, it will be strong because he poured out himself to death." He was numbered with the other sinners. He poured himself out to death. Would you let the story of Jesus and all the things that we know about him in the Word of God, would you let that capture your mind this week? And by that, I mean that every time, and there's not one of us who will be perfect at it, but the goal would be every time that we are tempted to think something negative about what's happening, be discouraged, look at our circumstances, all of the things that are happening, would you take the thought of Jesus and his life and his death and let that captivate your mind? Just simple concept. Our Messiah, he was insignificant, but he was punished for us. And he was innocent, but he was submissive. He didn't open his mouth. There was no deceit in him. But he went through and he accomplished what we could not, and so redemption is ours. Would you esteem Jesus today? Would you esteem Jesus all week long? Would you let Jesus captivate your mind this week? I really feel like this is the way that we can fight against the way that Satan wants to get us discouraged during these days. And he wants us to be anxious about what's happening, and he wants us to really be discontent with our circumstances. But the way to combat those potential sinful choices in our mind and our actions is to let Jesus captivate us. Let his life and his work of redemption just be that glorious reminder of how good everything really is. Let's esteem Jesus this week. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you for this passage of Scripture that gives such a clear description of what Jesus did for us. God, in your glorious plan, you allowed your Son, the Majestic One, to come in the form, in a way that would seem very insignificant, and most people did not even notice. And today we live in a world that most people do not even notice him. But God, what he did when he took upon himself the punishment for us, he accomplished through his willing, submissive sacrifice. Even though he was totally innocent, there was no deceit in him. He never opened his mouth in sinful ways. He went to the cross and he accomplished what we could not accomplish for ourselves. Jesus, thank you for paying the payment for our sins. Thank you that if we know you, everything is ultimately okay. Jesus, would you captivate our minds this week? Would you help us to continue to esteem you, to respect you, to admire you? God, help us to focus on you so that we can fight the temptations that we experience each and every day. We have so much to be thankful for in the redemption of our wonderful Messiah. God, work for your glory in our church family this week, we ask. In your holy and precious name, I pray. Amen.